Yes, boogity, boogity, boogity. Here we go, 5:08, 8 minutes after the hour, final hour of the show here this lovely Thursday afternoon, and it's great to have you along with us here as we roll along, driving ourselves inexorably towards the stone wall of 6 o'clock when everything comes to a crashing conclusion, at least for this show, anyway. However, if you've just joined us, you're just in the nick of time, because we try to work it out every at least once a month, maybe 6 weeks, when current events and circumstances permit. We like to, kind of run around the bases, touch base with folks that we know and like who are doing great work out there in media land. And one of the gentlemen with whom I've had the pleasure of yapping with for, God, I don't know how many years we've been doing this, but it's gone beyond just yapping. He's taught me how to drink beer, and I've tried to teach him how to drink wine. That hasn't worked out too well. But nevertheless, he keeps cranking out great books and great articles, not the least of which was a editorial at the Wall Street Journal just the other day, and he's working on something. We'll might be able to pry some information out of him for that as soon as we possibly can. Author of a veritable library of great books that should be, you should have read them by now. Attention Deficit Democracy has been out for a little while, but it's in paperback. So if you're looking for some summer reading, grab that one. It's a good place to start. Ladies and gentlemen, James Bovard. Hello, James.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on. I've got to make one minor correction. Since you said that it had been difficult to teach me how to drink wine, I have made progress because I'm no longer drinking out of the brown bags.
Oh, you're actually drinking out of the bottles now.
There you go.
Yeah, because those brown bags, they really change the taste, and it leaks out the bottom. And I was going to mention that to you, especially when we were at the restaurant. It just really didn't look good. But it's all right. It's okay.
Well,
making progress.
Yeah, but there's a certain kind of ambience when you're sitting on the curb outside the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, that's true. You're still drinking your favorite beer. What was the name of that?
Raging Bitch.
Raging Bitch. Yeah, I got to remember that stuff. fortunately have been able to avoid that one so far. Listen, as long as we're talking about beer and wine and everything, these are things that help us get happy. And your Wall Street Journal article, editorial rather, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry about GDP, be happy. This is really kind of exciting. And for those of you who missed it, you need to know that apparently the Obama administration is tired of trying to determine the mood of the nation just by looking at the numbers within the GDP, whatever the hell that means, and all the things that go along with it. So Mr. Bovard has discovered and advises us that now the Obama folks are paying good U.S. government-approved dollars, those, of course, would be your tax dollars, to come up with a new measure of happiness. I tell you, Jim, this is a brilliant idea.
Well, it's a whole lot. It's kind of in lieu of a strong economy.
Yes.
Yeah, since we're probably not going to get full employment by Election Day, and the survey would not be done by Election Day either, but what they're working on is there's a National Academy of Science panel that's analyzing proposals for surveying Americans' subjective well-being as another way to guide federal policymaking.
But, how exactly is that supposed to work? What measure? I know that when they come up with the CPI, for example, they throw everything into that basket, except of course the important stuff like gas and food. And of course we'll get to the employment numbers here in a couple of minutes. But I'm dying to know what items, subjective, objective, or otherwise, are they using or contemplating using to come up with this number, percentage, or color coded chart. Whatever the hell they're going to use.
Well, it's not really clear what they're doing yet, and some of the scientists have got very different views in this panel. And it's kind of like pulling a rabbit out of a hat, because I think it'd be very easy to get the kind of answers that politicians want, which is what federal stats usually do. And part of the reason I'm wary about this is because it seems like it's custom made for demagogues.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you say pulling rabbits out of the hat, to quote Rocky and Bullwinkle, that trick never works. But I'm thinking about you. You also mentioned in the article that that one of the groups that's helping these folks come up with whatever it is they're going to come up with is the Census Bureau. And I happen to know from my reading of the works of James Bovard, as well as some of the interesting stories you've told over lunch, that you have some remarkable experience to share with the Census Bureau from back in the day.
Well, back in 1980, I was a census taker in southern Illinois, and it was a formative experience. It was one more of those jobs where people would give me free beers, you know. It just seemed to always work out that way, you know. But it was funny because I was hitting different places, and sometimes I'd be doing a fancy neighborhood in the morning and then doing a trailer park in the afternoon. And it just seemed like the kind of guys in a trailer park were a lot more likely to give me a beer, which was great.
But, I thought maybe you'd be going like from Michelob down to Schaefer or Ballantine or something like that.
Well, I'm trying to think what the cheap beer was in Southern Illinois back then, but they had a couple that could also work as battery acid.
I think that was Old Barstool. It doesn't, or maybe it was it Frothing Schloss, the pale stale ale that the foam stays at the bottom? No, that was Pittsburgh. I'm sorry, that was in Pittsburgh. They did that stuff. Well, that was
sounds like Iron City.
Yeah, Iron City. It takes two hands to poke up the can. But seriously though, you in your Wall Street Journal piece, you point out that you bring up some interesting questions. For example, I was mentioning CPI earlier, and how in order to come up with the consumer price index, they leave out two of the most critical things that everybody buys: fuel and food, and of course the remarkable mathematics that go into computing our unemployment figures, which are something. Before we get to the meat of that, as to some of the potholes on the way to that number that you mentioned, we're having a little we got a little board going here at WSPD to try and see who can get closest without going below the actual unemployment percentage number that will be in effect a week before Election Day. And that would range anywhere from full employment of zero all the way up to 7.9% to get below the magic 8% number. Would you like to get in on that at all? It's only 50 cents.
7.6.
7.6. Okay, let's Don put Jim down for 7.6 and tell
Shaggy.
Shaggy.
Yeah, you know, I don't think Shaggy's been a nickname for me for a long time. You know, kind of a little thin on the top.
Yeah, that's the board out that Don is filling in for right now. Shaggy's the nickname of the guy who's out. He's the keeper of the board. He's got the oversight of the jar that has all the 50 cents in it. So we got you down for 7.6% a week before November. So let's get back to the manipulative thing here. The feds, you're concerned, and I'm really kind of astounded that someone with your experience with the federal government would have the kind of reservations and outright suspicions that the federal government might not be honest with the numbers that they're coming up with here.
Well, it's just interesting. I've followed government numbers for the last few decades doing the investigative kind of articles I do, and every now and then I come across a federal number that's honest. And it kind of shocks me, because so often the numbers are simply an utter racket. And the politicians know it, and the bureaucrats sometimes admit it, but the whole purpose of so many of these numbers is simply to make the government look like it's doing its job, or to make it look like there's some grave problem that the government needs more money and more intervention to solve. That's something which we see with the crime stats all the time. The numbers go up or down. It's just a question of whether the politicians, what sort of image that the politicians are trying to create at that time. But there are so many different ways that these numbers are jiggered. The Bureau of Labor Stats does the inflation numbers, and something which they do is make adjustments that are purportedly related to the rise in quality of consumer products, such as the new power computers, for instance. And this is something which they use in order to lower the inflation rate. And it doesn't matter if you buy a computer or not, then simply because there's all this new memory and all this computing power, it means that the price of milk really didn't go up that much.
So, as you point out in the piece, if someone failed to actively seek joy during the previous six-month period, would they be formally excluded from the official count, similar to the way they do the unemployment number? So December, with Christmas, our joy factor would be over the top, but in April, when we pay our taxes and get crucified, not so much.
Yeah, and it was funny. That was I came across notes from a workshop that was held shortly before the official started this panel, and several of the panel members were involved in that workshop. And one of the things that they were stressing, well, there's all these variables as far as how to do the polling, and it's probably important not to do it on Saturdays because people tend to be happier then. And, I'm saying, well, this sounds like a really iron-tight type of survey then, you know. I mean, it's a question of the time of the week. For some people, it might be the time of the month. Who knows? I mean, you have all these wild variables, and yet you have these people who are wanting to act like it's like the final number, which will be sanctified, is going to mean something, and it won't. It'll just mean here's a bunch more crap, pissed away, a lot more money pissed away in money and time, and another factor is these multipliers, because this is something which we've seen a lot from the Obama administration. They're always pulling out multipliers that say, okay, if we spend a dollar on stimulus, it's going to create $1.57 in economic activity. What sort of happiness multipliers might they factor in?
Well, the happiness thing seems to be very important. The government with the unemployment numbers, they come on, they tell you that the economy is improving. They tell you fewer people have applied for unemployment. They tell you fewer people have applied, are out of the workforce and people are hiring. So you get the impression that our joy can be manipulated simply by the government propagandizing whatever spin they want to put on the news, and they'll get the desired result.
That's true, and it would also be possible for the government to jigger the national mood by foreign policy announcements or victories in wars or stuff like that, or who knows what other kind of things that the politicians could do to jigger people's attitude, because the government of both parties going back a long time has a long history of lying, and it's not like they're going to be honest about happiness.
I could make some suggestions. I can see the headline now. Congress resigns. That would put us right over the top, I would think. President agrees to go along.
That'd be a step in the right direction.
Well, once again, you hit the nail on the head with another excellent piece. Everybody can find it in the Wall Street Journal. Don't worry about GDP. Be happy. I can't wait to see this one come out. Jim, always a hoot having you on the show, and always great stuff in print. Thanks a lot.
It was certainly good for my happiness to be on with you.
See you later. Jim Povard, Attention Deficit Democracy. Buy the book for the summer. It'll be a lot of fun.